This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oh my God, Josh, cyberpunk stuff.
Dude, it's so big, such breaking news that we don't even have our studio available. Where are we right now?
We're trying to walk out the office. It's 5 p.m. in the UK right now, but upstairs there's a bunch of stuff going on in the gaming studio, so we commandeered the wrestling office, the boys are out, to talk about the new cyberpunk game that's just been announced, and a bunch of Witcher stuff too.
They don't even know we're in here.
They won't find out until tomorrow.
It has been such a huge announcement. Why does this always happen at 5 p.m?
I guess it's 9 a.m. for other territories or something?
Do you want me to tell you exactly what's happening? Because I'm not on my phone being ignorant. I have the tweets from CD Projekt Red because they have just announced a bunch of Witcher games and a Cyberpunk sequel. In a Twitter thread, they have announced the codenames for all of this game. So, first and foremost, Orion is a codename for our next Cyberpunk game.
Is it Orion?
I think it's Orion, isn't it? Orion.
I would say it's Orion.
Let's go Orion.
Like the Metallica song.
It's very late. Please excuse me. Yes, Orion is a codename for our next Cyberpunk game, which will take the Cyberpunk franchise further and continue harnessing the potential of this dark future universe.
Okay.
Then we have another game called Hadar. Are you going to correct me on that?
I might just say Hadar.
Hadar is a codename for a third entirely distinct IP created from scratch within CDPR.
Okay,
this
cool.
project is in the earliest stages of the creative process, which means we are not developing any game yet, but working exclusively on the foundation for this new setting. And why are they not making this new IP yet, Scott Tilford? Because they have like an entire new Witcher saga in process.
Mm-hmm.
Polaris is a codename for the next installment in the Witcher series of games,
okay.
which we recently announced was in pre-production. Mm-hmm. It is the beginning of a new saga. We aim to release 2 more Witcher games after Polaris, creating a new AAA RPG trilogy.
Okay.
Then, my friend, Canis Majoris, which I've definitely got wrong, is a full-fledged Witcher game separate to the new Witcher saga, starting with Polaris. It will be developed by an external studio headed by experienced developers who have worked on past Witcher games. And finally, we have Sirius, which is a codename for the Witcher game developed by Molasses Flood,
yes.
set in the Witcher universe and created with the support from CDPR. It will differ from our past productions, offering multiplayer gameplay on top of a single-player experience, including a campaign with quests and story. So that's a lot I've thrown at you there.
I think, is that 6 games in total?
I cannot remember.
Seven games in total?
I was writing them all out.
It feels like, so, you know, we had the whole, like, the MCU is like, here's every single thing we're doing, and then Ubisoft's like, here's every single thing we're doing, and then it feels like CDPR went, well, we've got a bunch of stuff too, so here's every single thing we're doing. I wasn't expecting them to lead with Cyberpunk. I feel like they're trying to capitalize on the current conversation doing the rounds after Cyberpunk Edgerunners over on Netflix, where a lot of people are a lot more positive on Cyberpunk, and I feel like they've probably been sitting on this announcement for a while, waiting for a bit of an uptick in regards to the Cyberpunk IP, and then they can go, hey, by the way, here's all the plans we had years ago.
Yeah, Cyberpunk now, if you don't know, actually works on new consoles, and they recently announced the deal. DLC, and like you said, you got Cyberpunk Edgerunners, which was really well received. Mm-hmm. They've just announced that Cyberpunk has hit 20 million players, I think they said.
Sure.
So the point is, it's been rehabilitated mm-hmm. in the minds of many players, so now it feels like there's enough goodwill behind that franchise once again that they have announced the sequel. But yeah, it is interesting leading with that over The Witcher, which, you know, is kind of universally loved.
Two things with the Cyberpunk thing. One, we always knew that there was going to be a Cyberpunk multiplayer game. I know that those plans were shelved, and when CDPR were being asked, what are you guys doing about the multiplayer Cyberpunk game, that was amongst the game being on fire, the main game. And they were like, oh God, stop asking us. We'll tell you in the future when we get this thing stitched back together. But I wonder if this is the multiplayer Cyberpunk game. And the only other thing I'm going off is the name Orion, which is one of the names of a star constellation. And one of the things in Cyberpunk is that whole prison planet, the hollowed out moon that's a prison, that is maybe where something's going to be set. That's where one of the character endings takes you anyway.
Yeah.
So it kind of makes sense to go there. It's also a big deal in the anime, so why not?
That could be right. I think it's called Orion, though. Fine.
Orion.
That theory holds no water. No, that is very interesting, because to be honest, I don't know anything about the Cyberpunk anime, so I have no idea what this is being linked to. But yeah, you know, you mentioned the multiplayer experience there. I think people would be more up for a multiplayer Cyberpunk at this point in time, now that we've got the base experience out of the way, in my opinion anyway. Mm-hmm. What's interesting is that, you know, obviously a bunch of these projects are not being made directly by CDPR. They are, of course, spearheading the next Cyberpunk game and the next, you know, Witcher trilogy of games. But we're also going to get experiences in this series, or in these series, from other developers. Does that excite you? Because I'm not sure.
They've got a weird track record so far with licensing stuff to other devs, like the Pokemon Go style Witcher game. I think it's called Witcher Monster Slayer. They kind of had advisory roles on that, and that was fine, but not great. It was very level locked and whatever. It didn't feel like they protected the IP as much as they could. I had a very bad time with Witcher Monster Slayer, and that's someone who's played thousands of hours of Pokemon Go.
Right.
So that is one of the only comparisons I can make in terms of giving someone the Witcher IP and hoping for the best. It's interesting, the dev team that's leading one of these offshoot games, you mentioned they're called the Molasses Flood. They made Flame in the Flood, or Flame and the Flood, one of the two, which is very much a sort of survival game, single player game. The fact that they're doing something multiplayer is very eyebrow raising, because I'm just like, that's an interesting, you know, that game is very top down perspective, and I wonder where you go with that. And then also you've got the AAA trilogy.
Yes.
Are we getting a Siri trilogy?
Yes, we are. Maybe, my friend.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This podcast is brought to you by Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. One of the things I love about Indeed is that it just makes hiring all in one place so easy, because you just get unparalleled access to job seekers. Plus, listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/WCG. Just go to Indeed.com/WCG right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/WCG. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Well, I mean,
I wonder.
I don't want to. Well, again, I worry. I don't worry. I'm excited for all of these games, but obviously, you know, they hit CDPR. I'm talking about here hit a huge roadblock with the launch of Cyberpunk 2077, and part of the reason they hit such a roadblock is that they were too ambitious. They were too hopeful in terms of their rollout of that game. You know, they announced a deadline way too far in advance. You know, there were reports coming out that people who were making the game knew it wasn't going to be ready for 2020 and expected a 2022 release date. So I just hope that whilst we know essentially the next decade, if not more, of what CDPR is doing, like, they're not rushing these projects out. They're not, like,
there's no way straight into them. There's no way in business commerce history that they replicate what happened with Cyberpunk. That thing, the first game, the 2077 2020 game, was an absolute fire of magnitude, several order of magnitudes bigger than many other games that we've seen, even when you talk about video game fires. Like, that thing was on the BBC.
It was.
Like, it was everywhere. Like, I mean, they can't do that again. And for as much as their reputation took a massive hit, I saw their stock price went down 75% or something across this year, so they're very much still recovering from that. And they need to, you know, anytime that the terms CDPR and Cyberpunk get associated, the following thing has to be positive. Like, their entire company hinges on this. Which is why I'm so surprised that they're leading with this in the tweet thread. You know, just saying, hey, by the way, guys, Cyberpunk. Like, they're obviously confident enough in it now. What do you want from a AAA new Witcher trilogy?
I was just about to ask you that question, because you mentioned, of course, Ciri potentially getting her own trilogy, and I think that would be really cool. But honestly, I don't know. You know, like, the Witcher as a trilogy is such a strange beast, because people love Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, and I love Witcher 2 Assassins of Kings, I think that game is called. But it has a weird trajectory, right? It's always going from, you know, kind of strength to strength, and it's finding itself as it progresses and as CDPR progressed as a company. Whereas now they kind of have a foundation of what people love, and what people love was how The Witcher 3 Wild Hunt played. So I wonder if we're going to get something radically different, or something that kind of plays it safe, giving us the same kind of Witcher formula, but with radical new characters and a radical new story.
I wonder if it'll be, I remember a rumor a good few years ago, I'm sure me and Ash did a video on it back in the day, the idea of it being like a more of an online multiplayer platform Witcher, where you would join one of the schools and you make your own character, and maybe that was a way to go, which I would take that. I mean, School of the Wolf, left, right, and center. Maybe School of the Bear. Depends what I'm feeling.
Cat.
Maybe School of the Cat. But yeah, I wonder if that would be the way that they would go and almost chase Skyrim or Elder Scrolls energy. Because then you can have an almost completely, you know, blank canvas for your Witcher life, and you can live that way and whatever. I don't know. I like the character writing in the Witcher series.
Yes.
I love Geralt. I love Yennefer. I do want them to respect the fact, like they've said, Geralt's story is done. I hope that stays the case.
Well, tell me. You might know this more than I do, because I'm not familiar at all, really, with the Witcher books, obviously what the games are based on. And I don't know if there's much material left that hasn't been adapted yet that they could draw from.
Right.
I literally have no idea whether this is going to be a kind of a CDPR original when it comes to whatever, however they're going to transform the world, or if there is something like, you know, the equivalent of The Hobbit in this case to pull from and kind of adapt. I don't know.
They're all, there's wider stories, but as far as I know, they're all Geralt based. Like, my wife reads all the Witcher books, so I sort of get occasional bits and pieces based on what she's reading. But as far as I know, it's other Geralt stuff.
Okay.
Again, as far as I know, they've not done any main stories with other characters as big as Geralt that you could lean on, and especially in terms of a whole new trilogy, which makes me think that they're inventing a new character or doing something that's more customizable, where you're making your own person, making your own Witcher and your own fighting style and whatever. That would let them address some of the criticisms of The Witcher 3.
Yes.
If you have them with you know, the skill progression, the combat systems and whatever, and flesh out the way you can fight and do spells.
What if they allowed you to create your own Witcher character, but then made it first person, and so it never cut to third person, and you couldn't actually see what they looked like?
I would hate that, the same way I hated when they revealed that Cyberpunk was first person. Still not over
kind
it.
Of bad. Before we kind of wrap this up, because I assume we're wrapping this up soon, I have no idea how long we've been talking for. Maybe hours. Do you think it's a mistake, potentially, to announce their next IP when we have at least 4 AAA games made by them to come before that time?
Well, you know, your friend and mine, my own brain, very much likes new stuff. So as soon as they said that, that was the most interesting part of that entire reveal to me. So I like that they sort of placate people like me who go like, it's cool you're doing your franchise stuff, you know, God bless you and everything, but what's your next new thing? And I like that that was at the end of the thread, to just go, "Do we're not getting carried away, we've got new ideas as well." And so yeah, I quite like that. I like that them sort of having that in as a sweetener. They're sort of getting there and doing what the likes of the MCU or Star Wars or even Bethesda aren't doing.
Yeah.
Even Bethesda are like, we've got the next Elder Scrolls and Fallout. Where's your next thing, Bethesda? It's probably Starfield.
Isn't it?
Probably next year. But then it's not going to be another one for another 20 years. So whatever. So I quite like that CDPR were just sort of getting out there going, something new will be here.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. If you talk about the release calendar, that'll be on 15 years worth of games.
It's going to be a long time, Scott Tilford, but it's going to be exciting, I think. And I will end on the note that it feels like we're in unprecedented times because it does feel like we're in the MCU part of the gaming industry now, where we now are getting company roadmaps for 15 years, you know, in every single project they're going to make within that time. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I feel about that yet, but it's going to be interesting going forward into this generation, having so much prior knowledge.
Well, that's the thing. That's something to leave off and hand over down to you guys down in the comments. Do you like knowing this many games in advance? Do you feel comfort knowing that a company has a roadmap for the next decade and a half worth of titles? Or does it make you worry about what they might want to plug in between, or whether they can nail all the steps of that roadmap as it rolls out? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.